Noise on the phone line. Impossible to geek. The work of shadows. The Babylon Podcast was our last best hope for B5 fans. A self-contained show, 1 hour long, located on an RSS feed. A place for interviews and episode discussions for a whole bunch of humans and aliens. A shining beacon in cyberspace, all alone on the web. It was the dawn of the third age of podcasting, the year the Lost Tales came upon us all. This is the podcast about the story of the last of the Babylon stations. The year is 2007. The name of the show is the Babylon Podcast.
And hello, I am Summer Brooks.
I am Brad Boyer.
And we are here to welcome you to a special edition of the Babylon Podcast. We are bringing you a compilation of The Three-Edged Sword, the Babylon 5 audio drama available at voicesofbabylon.com. Basically, we want to give everyone a taste of what they're missing if they're not checking out the entire show over on voicesofbabylon.com. So we are bringing you a compilation of the little snippets that have been appearing in the Babylon podcast over the past few months.
A chance to catch up.
A chance to catch up and a chance to get hooked. So, without any further ado, here we go.
This is Captain Yarstow, EAS Netherlands.
They're ready to play in them, command post reporting.
This is NBS-1, squad leader to Jean.
We are not hostile. I repeat, we are not hostile.
The Corps is mother, the Corps is father.
I will need to protect the interests of our people.
Battles we fought here at Orion 7 in the name of freedom.
Three-Edged Sword, Episode 1. And so it begins.
Captain's log, ES Netherlands, 60 days after secession. We have received override codes for the Mars defense grid, but I remain hesitant to attack. Despite the value of a strike on Syria Planum, the enemy's bases are too well defended for a quick strike to work. The communication systems which are above ground are vulnerable, protected only by the presence of civilians nearby. My tactical officer assures me he can get a clean hit, and the fighter jocks assure me that they can even if he can't. But after 2 months of regular attacks since the secession, we're down to 7 Thunderbolts. Even if I dispatch all other fighters to secure their return from the atmosphere, we will lose most of our remaining atmospheric capability in such an attack. And we've lost too many people already, to the treacherous propaganda of the Night Watch, and to the battles we fought here at Orion 7 in the name of freedom. Captain's log, EAS Netherlands, 61 days after secession. We have set course for Mars. An intelligence windfall from a close friend has given us the IFF data for the destroyer Hector. The false transponder code won't fool anyone for very long, but it will buy us enough time for a strike with Thunderbolts. If we survive this, I'll need to locate one of the few remaining Narn leather shops to buy him a thank you present. Astroglide is so 2259. Captain's log, EAS Netherlands, 64 days after secession. We're about to hit the ring of jammers around the home system. Those whose families are elsewhere have been given a chance to dispatch final messages home. We have to monitor these, of course, but the mission remains dangerous and I will not deny my people the right to say goodbye. We've been cut off from Orion 7 by secondary jammers for 2 days already, so I will be sending my latest log entries elsewhere for safekeeping. If we should fail to survive our mission against Syria Planum, Captain Phillips of the Phoebes knows where to collect them. The die is now cast, and the main jammers beckon me like a new Rubicon.
Personal log, Syria Planum listening post. Just on a break from monitoring more Babylon 5-related transmissions, I still don't see what's so important about that spinning tin can, but someone upstairs does, so do we. Highlight today is some Narn got hold of the Project Lazarus instructions to eliminate Talia Winters. We tried to tell Bureau 13 using open consoles wasn't secure, but they wouldn't listen. All that residual radiation in the wastelands must have pickled their brains, made them arrogant and sloppy. Hell, even Sheridan in deep space got wind of their activities. So this Narn couldn't figure out why Talia was ordering her own elimination. Now, you can't expect deep thinking from a race that doesn't even have telepaths, but it's amazing how using the name Control in all operations has generated so much misinformation. Bureau 13 never knew about our more sophisticated sleepers. And that whole Abel Horn thing was a fiasco, sending a brain-dead bionic mundane on such a critical mission. No wonder Bester made Bureau 13 go poof right after that. Biggest headache today is signal interference from EAS Hector. It's overhead, so their thunderbolts can train in thin atmosphere. You'd think the brass would keep our airspace clear, but they think a no-fly zone would just draw too much suspicion. Big birds are just coming down now. Sure looks like more fun than riding this console. Hey, defense grid just crashed. And where the hell do they think they're going? Alert! Alert! Thunderbolts on attack vector! Launch fighters, all topside personnel take cover! Repeat! Thunderbolts on attack vector! Launch fighters!
Captain's log. Yes, Netherlands. 66 days after secession. I'll have to time compress this log when I send it. We're once again past the main jammers, but out of reach of Orion 7. The attack was a success. Using our assumed identity, we sent 6 Thunderbolts down for a training mission. The enemy never saw them coming. Until they broke off their mock dogfight, 10 seconds before firing missiles at the communication station. There were no civilian casualties as far as we could tell. My pilots fired a few missiles at the main base on our way back up, but these had no effect. Once they returned, we jumped into Hyper, barely ahead of Clark's ships. They pursue us now, and any minute of transmission makes it easier for them to track us. We may have to go dangerously far from the beacon to shake pursuit. But we did what we came to do. Syria Planum's communications capacity could now be doubled with some aluminum cans and a piece of string.
Three-Edged Sword. Episode 2. The Chase.
Captain's log. Yes, Netherlands. 68 days after secession. We're deep in hyperspace now, where the beacon is a faint signal that only the best of my communication stacks can enhance sufficiently for us to continue navigating. In a way, it's relaxing to be away from the universe a while, after all we've been through. But we have to get back to Orion 7. There's an Omega-class hole in the defense team right now. Unfortunately, even this far from the beacon, pursuit is still not far behind. So far, our pursuers are staying closer to the beacon, but just inside of us. We may have to take the ultimate risk, jumping to another beacon without holding this one to shake them. And now we have to wonder if that is enough. Lieutenant Harrington is a latent telepath, just weak enough that the Psi-Corps left him alone. In hyperspace, however, he is somewhat sensitive, and he assures me that there are telepaths tracking us. A statement I am unfortunately not prepared to dismiss.
Mission update. Operation Dutch Courage. Syria Planum Command Post reporting. 3 days after the attack on our comm facility, we are preparing to tighten the noose on the deviant cowards who launched the attack. While the tracking and monitoring equipment above ground suffered extensive damage, the control room was fortified enough to prevent any personnel losses. Earth Force scanners picked up the ship immediately after the attack and identified it as EAS Netherlands, last known to be at Orion 7. EAS ships took up the initial pursuit, shadowed by our own Black Omegas. Some skillful maneuvers far off the beacon soon forced the EAS forces to abandon the chase. However, the Black Omegas remain, thanks to the first test of our linked telepathic array. When Ms. Winters' control was debriefed, we learned of her successful deception of Agent Bester while linked to the rogue telepaths. That intel has allowed us to fashion a long-range hyperspace scanner, hacking into the beacons with a linked group of P-12 Teeps and Teeks. Agent Bester, having quickly recovered from his initial shock, is leading the group with a firm hand. At first, we only had enough P-12s on site for a vague fix, just enough to keep the Black Omegas in the right sector. As more P-12s have been rushed to the base, we have refined our focus, and now have their position firmly locked in. We are preparing to spring the trap before they can warn others of our new abilities. There was some debate about waiting to identify any Confederates. However, Agent Bester convinced the command staff this was most likely a solo operation. Now we will just make sure it was a suicide run. The Corps is mother, the Corps is father. Syria Planum out.
Free-edged sword. Episode 3. Intersections in hyperspace.
Mission update, Operation Dutch Courage, Syria Planum Command Post reporting. The EAS Netherlands has slipped off the beacon in a desperate attempt to elude our pursuit. The Black Omegas follow, leaving individual Star Furies behind to mark the path back to the beacon. The Corps mothership Basset has been recalled from its hyperspace patrol and is now approaching the area, where the Black Omegas are guiding it towards the Netherlands. Although the trailblazing has tied up some of our forces, the Vasset is a Nova-class dreadnought. Our recent acquisition of artificial gravity has vastly improved its maneuverability. Its firepower, plus the combination of its own Star Furies with the remaining Black Omegas, should make short work of its Omega-class opponent. I've just received an update. More P-12s have been added to the linked array, extending their range even deeper into hyperspace. They have detected a group of ships beyond the Netherlands, flying on the fringes of another beacon. If they're military, the balance of forces may be compromised. The command staff has held the Vasset in place until these new ships can be identified. The Corps is mother, the Corps is father. Syria Planum out.
Captain's log, EAS Netherlands, 70 days after secession. We have now gone far enough off the beacon that we can't be fully certain of ever finding the next beacon. But still, there are fighters pursuing us, with a larger ship supporting them, hovering on the extreme edge of our sensor range. As if that wasn't enough to worry about, there are now fighters in front of us as well. From their basic profile, they look like Frasi-class Narn-heavy fighters. But their power readings and some minor parts of their silhouettes differ from our data on the Frasi-class. We had them on sensors for about an hour when we received the challenge. That message, added to the sensor data, leads me to believe that we're dealing with some upgrade of the Frasi class. Presumably the upgrades have allowed them to elude the Centauri for all these months. I've attached the challenge we received to this log, in the hope that something may be learned from it if things go wrong. We will certainly have to handle this situation carefully. Even allowing for the stranger effects of combat in hyperspace, and the upgrades these ships have apparently received, I believe we could fight our way past them without fear of being destroyed. But we would certainly be hurt in such a fight, and there are enough ships pursuing us that any damage could fatally tip the balance. We must therefore hope to win the day with diplomacy.
One attachment found.
Advanced fighter squadron to unknown vessel. This is your only warning. Identify yourself immediately or we will engage. Repeat, unknown vessel. Identify yourself immediately. This is NBS-1, squad leader Tijan to base with an urgent communique for Citizen Jakar. A craft of unknown origin has been detected on rapid approach. We were unable to complete the upgrades to our long-range sensors, and the vessel will be upon us before we can identify it. Based on our recent encounters with Centauri patrols, we have no choice but to assume that our countermeasures were ineffective, and we are under assault. I know this isn't what we wanted, Jakar, but if we must test the capabilities of our weapons, then this is how
This is Captain Jarsto, EAS Netherlands, to Narn Fighters. We have broken with our government and are not allied to the Centauri. We are not hostile. I repeat, we are not hostile.
EAS Netherlands. Earth Alliance? No matter. As of now, we must assume the project is compromised. Weapons hot. Defense pattern Narog. No engagement, I repeat. No one fires until I give the order or you are fired upon. Jakar, my friend, there is little time. The captain of this vessel, Jarsto, he claims to be a member of the faction allied with Sheridan. I must have confirmation. Use your contacts among the Earthers. If we do not have confirmation by the time we make visual contact, I will need to protect the interests of our people by whatever means necessary. I am sending a copy of their transmission with this message. Forward all information to our base. We will avoid any further contact as per protocol. Tijan out. EAS Netherlands, this is Squad Leader Tijan. I must demand that you alter your current heading towards the beacon coordinates I am sending now. We will escort you as we await confirmation of your political status. Repeat, you must alter your heading towards the designated...
Three-Edged Sword, Episode 4, Shifting Currents.
Captain's Log, EAS Netherlands, 71 days after secession. We continue towards the coordinates specified by the Narn fighters. I dislike the detour, but the Narn have suffered much in recent years, and I wouldn't want to destroy one of their few remaining free forces lightly. And we do need allies, even the ones that are difficult to convince. With the Narn now flying in company with us, our pursuers are holding their distance, and I've been given a chance to consider their actions. They appear to be leaving fighters at regular intervals, slowly weakening their forces even now. Because of this, I expect the pursuit is no longer regular Air Force, but only the Psi-Corps Black Omega Squadron. Because they fight like intelligence operatives, not soldiers. More to the point, they fly like people who've read John Sheridan's after-action report on the rescue of the Cortez, but don't actually understand the implications. They should have started pulling in fighters the instant we met up with the Narn, not continued to weaken their forces when they had a clear sensor lock on a force that moves as certainly off the beacon as on it, at least in this part of hyperspace. But like intelligence operatives, they only know their reports, which say the safe way to fly off the beacon is to leave breadcrumbs behind. Not the tactical reality that even a hostile force has virtually no choice but to lead them back to another beacon at this point. Unfortunately, they haven't thinned out enough for me to turn around and take them on my own without sustaining major damage. So forging an alliance with the Narn remains crucial for the moment.
Squad Leader Tijan, personal log. We are escorting the Netherlands closer to our beacon, which means they are also approaching our base. I fear that may prove a costly error. Had the Netherlands been alone, my decision to help them find a way home could have been a benefit to our people. But now we have received telemetry and sensor data from the Netherlands, and it appears they are being followed by forces far less trustworthy. Captain Yarstow has made overtures for alliance, and all things being equal, it would be the logical and expected choice. We are not far from Orion 7, and the backing of an independent power, even one at war with the Earth Alliance, could help our cause. They have the infrastructure and resources necessary to finish constructing and arming our additional fighters. Supporting them against their enemy now, even in a limited capacity, might do more than a decade on Babylon 5. For now, it appears that the Earth Alliance forces will be limited should they continue to track the Netherlands to our base. With an Earther capital ship and Star Furies adding to our defenses, we could repel an attack, but the damage would be done. Reinforcements would take days to arrive, even if the Jatak is able to respond. I can only hope that... Wait, there is an incoming transmission. End personal log.
Personal log, Sirrae Plenum Command Post. I think I've got time for an entry. It's been chaos here since the explosion. During cleanup after the attack, an unexploded missile was discovered. It appeared to be modified for deep penetration. The bomb squad was called in, but the missile exploded just as they arrived. All three Teeks were killed, and four others were injured, two critically. The missile must have been fitted with a timer or motion sensor. Those bastards wanted it to blow up after the attack, during cleanup. The facility is in an uproar. Even with our level of training, the anger leaking out around our shields is putting everyone on edge, and I'm worried that the P-12s and the Array are now pushing themselves to exhaustion. Many of us want to ramp up the attack on the Netherlands. Agent Bester proposed an overture to the advanced Narn fighters. By acting quickly, with details of the Netherlands' treacherous attack, we can throw doubt on their trustworthiness. Sweetening the pot with Earth Force positions in the area should sway the Narn onto our side. We get the Netherlands, they get safe passage. The command staff rejected the proposal, leery of revealing EA intel. Even to get a rebel ship that's killed our own. Hell, Earth Force won't even know what happened. They'll just be happy Orion 7 isn't as well defended. That's when Bester came to me, enlisting my communications expertise to send a narrowband transmission to the Narn with our offer. The command staff has forgotten their first loyalty is to the Corps and their own, not propping up Clark. The offer went out 20 minutes ago. I'm now manning the comm to intercept their response, and I hope, relay new orders to our forces. Hold on. Narn response is coming in now. Close personal log. Three-Edge Sword. Episode 5. Schrödinger's Narn.
Squad Leader Tijan, personal log. If we were in a difficult position before, then this new situation might drive me to seek the Centauri myself. I would welcome a simple, straightforward battle to the delicate balance now before us. Captain Yarstow and his allies at Orion offer solid resources for our short-term goals of resistance, especially if they are in our debt. Yet none of that matters without intelligence, and that is what the Earther telepaths have offered. And of course, there is the long-standing mandate to procure telepath DNA for our own experimentation, a cause I have supported and fostered. Whatever my preferences, the course is set. I can only hope that Shakar will agree with the choice I have made for our people. I have sent a request to meet with Captain Yarstow on the Netherlands. My hope is to give my men and women the opportunity to rest while they still can, even if I cannot join them. I will have little enough time to implement our strategy as it is. Meanwhile, we should be close enough to the beacon for the Netherlands to establish their position. I should be able to divert them away from our base, avoiding the potential for disaster, but I have forwarded a request for the Jatak to return with whatever reinforcements we can spare until the danger is past. If my plan brings us to ruin, the fighters under construction would still be protected. End personal log.
Personal log, Sirrae Plenum Command Post. Well, the delicate dance with this wily Narn continues. I can see why his squad slipped the Centauri noose on his homeworld. He is open to our overtures, but has hinted at a little sweetener to close the deal. It's a demand the Corps has always rejected, but it can be filled while protecting our legacy. I've contacted a classmate on the Vassad who is prepared to be our go-between. Her sacrifice is an unfortunate necessity. Any of us would do the same. The extended negotiations have put our operation at risk. I'm trapping all Narn communications at my station, but the longer this goes on, the more chances the command staff has to catch wind of it. We have to nail this down soon. The staff's been busy analyzing a tactical shift, including assessments of the array's range and capabilities. This shift will commit us to following this thing all the way through. If we can present them with a done deal, a sure victory, our methods will be forgiven. The Corps has always valued the ends over the means. End personal log.
Captain's log, EAS Netherlands, 72 days after secession. We're starting to detect faint signals in the frequency range for beacons, but nothing strong enough to get a beacon identity or a solid bearing so far. Meanwhile, the Narn leader, Tijan, is still somewhat reticent. I wonder why it's taking so long for him to confirm our allegiances. While we haven't gone out of our way to tell the universe where we stand, we haven't hidden it either. With no set beacon to go by, it's difficult to say for sure where we are, or where we're headed. The best guess currently available says that we're not actually very far from our original course, trying to get back to Orion 7 the hard way. And while the Narn clearly have somewhat reliable charts of the shifting hyperspace currents in this area, we can't say the same thing. Which makes retracing our course with any certainty a great... Enter.
Here are the simulations, Captain. I knew you wanted to see the new results as soon as they were compiled.
Thank you, Lieutenant Commander Jacobs.
You know, Captain, looking over this data, I think we could actually pull it off.
It looks like that, Commander, but I would like to run the simulations again. This time with the performance for the Narn fighters at least 25% above that of Star Furies.
Right away, Captain. I've got a few ideas that might help.
Excellent, Commander. We do have to be certain we can strip away the Narn fighters without sustaining too much damage before we move against the Black Omegas. Three-Edged Sword. Episode 6. Preparations.
Personal log, Sire Planum command post. The die is now cast. The Narn have made their decision, and I'm up to my ears preparing for the coming attack. The command staff is on board, after some initial grumbling. I think they're just annoyed they didn't come up with it themselves, and now have to share credit with Bester. The Earth Force positions have been logged, and will soon be transmitted to the Narn. They get half now, and the rest after the operation is complete. We have kept the sweetener secret. The command staff is duty-bound to reject such a breach of Psi-Corps policy. My classmate has been haunting Medlab, using her history of migraines as cover. The samples have been collected and, prepared, and loaded into the microprobe. Hyperspace interference in the fog of battle prep should mask its launch. We did make one concession to the Narn. The attack is being delayed until we move away from the vicinity of their base. While I'd prefer not to attack so close to Orion 7, there is one advantage. In the interim, Tijan is meeting Captain Yarstow on the Netherlands. I look forward to integrating his intel into our battle plan. End personal log.
Captain's log, EAS Netherlands, 72 days after secession. It's late now by our internal clocks, but the ship is as active as ever. Procedures are underway to allow the Narn leader Tijan to board our ship. Since we didn't bring any universal docking adapters for this mission, we're having to improvise with the fighter bay. It's not an ideal solution, but even with the Narn fighter sitting there, we should be able to launch all of ours. It will, however, take 5 or 6 minutes to launch the full fighter complement, rather than the 2 minutes it should normally take. The ships pursuing us seem to be holding their distance. A surprising decision given the fact that we're back on the beacon and on course for Orion 7 and the rest of our forces. Something our pursuers, certainly their capital ship, must have realized by now. I've asked Lieutenant Commander Jacobs to analyze the situation, using his combined expertise as a junior tactical officer and a fighter squadron leader. I'll attach his synopsis to this entry.
One attachment found.
Current tactical assessment. Lieutenant Commander Chris Jacobs reporting. Limits on enemy fighter endurance might have caused them to fall back and link up with their capital ship temporarily, but not for this long. Tactically, the enemy should try to attack us now, before we reach our allies, or give up completely if they don't think they have a chance. Holding this distance is probably indecision, unless they have allies of their own en route.
Squad Leader Tijan, personal log. This will be my last opportunity to add an entry to this log before boarding the Netherlands. I have sent all archives to base to ensure that our records remain intact. I have also attached all messages from Captain Yarstow and Agent 6 of the Psi-Corps, along with my responses. All materials have, of course, been encrypted. Should we fail to return from Orion, then at least others will know our fate. The record will also make clear that this decision was mine alone. Should we fail to survive, the Narn must not suffer retaliation. Circumstances required action. If matters go well, our people will benefit. If not, the evidence will limit the damage done to our cause. I suppose, in the end, that I can ask for nothing more. After the struggle to escape Homeworld, the endless negotiations for support on Babylon 5, the cost of defending Sheridan against his own government, I cannot believe that all of our efforts, sacrifice, and bloodshed have brought us to this moment. May Jaquan forgive me if I was wrong. End personal log.
Three-Edged Sword. Episode 7. Word gets out.
Captain's log, EAS Netherlands, 73 days after secession. Our pursuers still haven't moved in or given up yet, even though we're now close enough to the beacon to start receiving the stronger broadcasts. We don't have the power in our own transmitters to contact Orion 7 yet, but we are receiving ISN, which is a mixed blessing at best these days. I was surprised to hear a report, of sorts, about our attack on Sirius Planum. ISN already had a rather creative view of what reporting the news meant the last few weeks before they went off the air. Since their return, they've taken being economical with the truth to previously unknown heights. In a way, I'm surprised they let the news get out at all, but I suppose they couldn't help putting something out. While we made sure not to hit any civilian structures in the attack, there are civilians near the target. I guess the rumors were spreading too far for them not to put out some official story. I'm curious, in a way, why there isn't a clearer attempt to put us on the back foot in a propaganda war. They might easily have identified us and said we'd hit some of those civilians. Then again, it wouldn't suit them at all to admit there is armed resistance keeping them out of Orion 7. And it could be a reflex on their part to release the most limited story possible. Or putting the blame on Free Mars could be a political ploy, thought more valuable than vilifying us. Whatever their reasoning may be, my speculations about it will have to be postponed for now. Squadron Leader Tijon is being given a tour of the ship by Lieutenant Commander Jacobs, but it won't be long until he gets here. And I want to have a solid tactical proposal ready for him by the time he does arrive.
This is an ISN radio news brief. I'm Philip Highcastle reporting. EarthGov officials today released preliminary unemployment figures for this quarter. The figures show planetary unemployment at historical lows as a result of President Clark's Re-Education and Employability Act. The resultant increase in the workforce has also reduced the numbers of homeless and those receiving government aid. Authorities have announced the results of their investigation into a series of explosions that last week rocked a small settlement on Syria Plenum. They determined that the source of the explosions was a sizable weapons cache belonging to the radical Free Mars terrorist group. The explosions were likely triggered by incompetent handling of highly volatile compounds used in creating bombs. Reported casualties were merely members of a local Free Mars cell. Fortunately, no Earth Alliance citizens were wounded or killed. Officials say that while this incident will likely curb Free Mars activity in the area, citizens are advised to remain within their settlements and refrain from unnecessary travel and communications. In sports, Major League Baseball has announced its starting lineup for next season. With the withdrawal of all 10 extraterrestrial ball clubs, the league will realign its divisions. This new configuration harkens to a simpler era of baseball, says Commissioner Andy Savoy, when the sport was the sole province of the Mother World. With news on the hour, this has been an ISN radio news brief.
End transmission. Open personal log. Personal log, Syria Plenum Command Post. I just monitored the ISN news report on the attack. It broadcast as scripted. There haven't been any incidents of reporters ad-libbing since the ISN reorganization, but we still monitor all transmissions. If anyone needs to be re-educated, it's best if we bring them to the attention of Earthdome. Keeps up our all-seeing, all-knowing reputation, and we'll be doing the work anyway. The new sedition laws have made it much easier to ascertain the full extent of a subversive's knowledge. The investigators have found it very liberating to finally take the gloves off. Mentally, of course. The decision to identify the dead as Free Mars terrorists still rankles me. The unfortunate price of having to vet the text with Clark's boys. I miss the days when an operative could pick up a reporter in a bar and engage in some pillow talk and nocturnal manipulation. Mentally, of course. I know it serves Clark's need to establish a basis for the Mars invasion scheduled for next year, and it preserves our security. People stay away from Free Mars hotspots. But equating our brave, selfless soldiers with those savages is an insult, especially given the tales of how they've tortured the few of us they've gotten their hands on. I hear the leader has a real thing against telepaths. Still, we will honor and treasure their sacrifice, and that's what's important. The mundanes never understand our bond and the trauma when it's broken. We take it personally because we feel it personally. That's why we always avenge our own, and soon we will have our vengeance. The Corps is mother. The Corps is father. End personal log. Three-Edged Sword. Episode 8. Battle Plan.
Squad Leader Tijon to Agent 6. I'm recording this update in the hope that I will be able to send it soon. I should have an opportunity to use the communication system shortly. I will assume that your encrypted access codes will allow me to transmit undetected. I have concluded a tour of the Netherlands and a brief discussion with Captain Yarstow on how to best resolve the current crisis. He is completely unaware of our collusion. For now, I have kept the Narn input into tactical solutions minimal, claiming only general familiarity with the capabilities of an Omega-class vessel, and Star Fury compliment. That much is true enough, but it serves the purpose of pressing our friend into revealing more about his resources and combat preferences. Naturally, the MBS will provide additional fighter support to the Netherlands when the time comes. Though the details are still to be determined, this will allow us to identify gaps in the defensive screen that will emerge once the battle commences. I'm including the specific communication keys for MBS-2. Send her instructions for friend or foe ID correction, and whatever signal you wish to employ when the time comes. You might also want to provide us with the specifics on the delivery of the additional items, as per our agreement. Unless you would prefer I meet with your associate in person for the transfer of genetic material. Tajan out.
Personal log, Sirius Planum Command Post. As the ships get closer to Orion 7, the final pieces of our attack are falling into place. We've successfully migrated the linked array to the Orion 7 beacon, giving us a full sensor sweep of the battle area. The command staff has decided on the basic tactics, contingent on what we learn from Tajan. The Black Omegas and the Vasset Star Furies will move in ahead of the Vasset. The Narn and Netherlands fighters will move out to defend, with each Narn eyeballing one of the Netherlands Star Furies. As they approach firing range, the Narn turn on the Netherlands fighters. The surprise and confusion will make those surviving the initial assault easy pickings. Then we attack the now poorly defended Netherlands. Our superior numbers, plus Dijon's intel on their capabilities, promise a swift but satisfying conclusion. I love this part of an operation. As we all focus in, there's a mental buzz in the post that's very exhilarating. Now I just have to finalize the transfer of the sweetener. Tajan has been pressing for details, and while I'd prefer to hold off until success is assured, he may require delivery up front to ensure his cooperation. Cora's mother, the Cora's father. End personal log.
Captain's log, EAS Netherlands, 73 days after secession. I spent more of the day than I wanted to in talks with the Narn leader Tajan. I don't know why, but some sections of our tactical discussion seemed like pulling teeth. In fact, one or two stretches made me think wistfully of an old-style root canal treatment I received on a backwards mining colony, from a dentist who knew too little about anesthetics for my comfort. The Narn also appears to be far more conservative tactically than I'd hoped. He insists on deploying his ships in close proximity to the Netherlands. It makes some sense, as we are looking at an opposing capital ship, but the enemy's forward fighters mean a quick hit with a bigger fighter wing could alter the balance of power significantly. Of course, all our discussions have been based on the assumption that we will have to fight without further reinforcements. If we can get reinforcements, the Narn would become less crucial to the balance of power. In that scenario, the close-in deployment would make sense, but that scenario hasn't been mentioned at all in our discussions. Three-Edged Sword, Episode 9, The Calm.
Personal log, Sirius Planum Command Post. Orion 7 is getting closer, and we have yet to finalize our battle plans. Tajan has been on the Netherlands for some time now and is still incommunicado. Time is short, and I'm getting a little worried. Without his cooperation, the attack cannot proceed. The intel this meeting promised was always balanced by the possibility of Tajan being discovered, or even turned. It can be so frustrating dealing with mundanes. You can never rely on their loyalty the way you can our own. All the other preparations are on course. The linked array is a wonder to behold. Who knew the telepathic enhancements of hyperspace could be used so productively? They are providing tactical data on all the ships in the area simultaneously, and it's being fed to the Vasset in real time. We're now experimenting with some of the higher-rated teeps to see if they can focus in on selected targets for attack, kind of like a magnifying lens within the scan zone. Meanwhile, my classmate awaits instructions for launch of the special delivery. This part of the operation still creeps me out. Scanning a lizard head is hard enough. The thought of one as a teep is just nauseating. Cora's mother, the Cora's father. End personal log.
Captain's log, EAS Netherlands, 74 days after secession. Squadron leader Tijon's fighter should be launching in the next few minutes. Though having met face-to-face is an improvement on contact only via the comm system, I'll be glad to have the fighter bay clear again. With enemies still nearby, the ability to launch all our own fighters quickly is essential. Our agreed tactics, keeping the fighters close, are still far more conservative than I'd have liked. But having the Narn aboard, even with a suboptimal strategy, is preferable to having to go it alone. Of course, the chance of reinforcements from elsewhere grows hourly as we approach Orion 7. But though the chance grows, we can't count on anything yet. I'm growing more and more convinced that, ill-advised though their holding strategy might be, the enemy will attack before we reach Orion 7. That being the case, we must be ready to defend ourselves at a moment's notice. The indications that we're being tracked telepathically only add to those worries. It's possible that the enemy knows exactly how far we are from reinforcements, and will factor that into any battle plans. But we have a few surprises of our own in store for them yet. If they ever manage to close with us, they'll be in for a nasty shock.
Squad Leader Tijon to Agent 6. Repeat, Squad Leader Tijon to Agent 6. I am sending this message from my fighter. I can only hope that this attempt will finally be successful. I was unable to use the override access codes while on the Netherlands. That was the cause of my delay. However, the reason for that failure may overcome your understandable lack of patience. It would appear that the Netherlands has experienced damage to its long-range communications. The comm system was unable to provide details, but any such communications were offline. That being the case, I have encrypted my original message as recorded on the Netherlands, as well as additional detail on the disposition of the defensive forces. We still require the ID designations for your vessels. We need enough time to update our targeting systems before the attack commences. Without that information, well, I cannot be held responsible for the consequences. In fact, I have sent my second ahead on a scouting mission. She is awaiting delivery of the genetic material. I expect there will be no direct contact between your forces and ours, but delivery must be completed prior to any further operations. Without delivery, again, I cannot be held responsible for the consequences. Squad Leader Tijon to Agent 6. Repeat, Squad Leader Tijon to Agent 6. I am sending this message from my fighter.
Three-Edged Sword. Episode 10. The Storm.
Captain's log, EAS Netherlands, 74 days after secession. I'm about to leave my quarters and head to the bridge. The enemy Star Furies are suddenly closing fast, and our own Star Fury complement has just launched. We've still got quite a while before the distance drops down to combat range, but we've already flipped over the Netherlands to drift backwards towards the Orion 7 jump gate, with our main armament pointed towards the enemy. Although this is going to make it a bit harder for navigation, I've ordered no acceleration to meet the enemy. We will still meet short of Orion 7, but I want to postpone that meeting as long as possible. I've attached the initial after-launch assessment Lieutenant Commander Jacobs sent in to this log.
One attachment found.
Tactical assessment log, Lieutenant Commander Jacobs reporting. Our squadrons were holding position more or less. All wings are currently trying to close the gap between us and the enemy Furies, albeit slowly. The Narn continue to resist assuming our attack vectors. Even they must see the need to accelerate to attack speeds as the enemy arrives. Slow-moving fighters will just be too vulnerable to the enemy's targeting systems. Jacobs out.
This is NBS-1 to Beta Squadron. Maintain defensive position. Bogies on approach vector 135/040. ETA, 30 minutes on my mark. Mark. Remember our orders. We are to hold at this forward position long enough for the Netherlands to get a firing solution on the Psi Corps capital ship. Their Star Furies will be looking to punch a hole to clear the way. Keep the fires hot here, we force them to adjust. We can let hyperspace in the Netherlands do the rest. MBS-1 out. Squad leader to MBS-2. Confirm target assignments. MBS-5 is still showing red on the port blister. Adjust accordingly. We'll only have the element of surprise once, so timing is critical. We wait until we're out of range of the Netherlands defenses. I'll give the order to engage the Psi-Corps Star Furies. When Beta Squadron pulls out to engage, we target and fire. Confirm that our weapons are set to the correct specifications. No mistakes. Timing is critical if our plan is to succeed.
Mission update. Operation Dutch Courage, Sirioplanum Command Post. After receiving intel on the Netherlands' comm problems, the command staff has ordered the attack to begin immediately. This is the first deployment of the Central Command and Control Attack Protocol enabled by the linked array. All command operations will be directed from Sirioplanum, with orders and deployments routed through this comm station. Open attack log.
Commencing.
Epsilon and Zeta squads maintain escort formation. All attack fighters prepare for full acceleration. Vector attack run to sectors 26 by 7 by 12 and 26 by 8 by 13. Black Omega's point, Alpha Squad, flank 270, Beta Squad, flank 90. Make sure the Star Furies are between you and the Narn. Gamma and Delta squads, target the Narn and fly the horns at flank 0 and 180. The Netherlands must see us targeting all fighters. Accelerate on my mark. Mark. Do not attack until the Star Furies clear the inner firing radius. The Narn will lag behind them. Gamma and Delta squads, hold fire until the Narn engage. Once they commit, assist or take them out. Alpha, Beta, deflect flank 3 degrees. Maintain current course and speed. Linked array is detecting an unusual disturbance. Focusing in on the area now.
Three-Edged Sword is brought to you by Voices of Babylon.
Negotiations. New responsibilities. Boom shabalaba.
And welcome back to the Babylon Podcast. Well, we hope you've enjoyed this chance to get caught up on Three-Edged Sword. And Summer, where can they find out more on that?
The website to find out more detail about the Three-Edged Sword is voicesofbabylon.com. Also, you can email them at tes@voicesofbabylon.com or leave them some voicemail at 206-337-1946.
What do you eat when I'm gone?
Well, I eat. Obviously, we have plenty of. I eat at McBarry's.
McBarry's? Oh, is that the new place in the brown sector? With the golden.
The golden headbones, yes.
We are not biologically equipped to handle fast food.
I know, but it tastes so great going down. Coming up again, it's not so terrific.